to some rain. Amen and amen. And so I do have this shirt because last year when I this year I'll be with the youth as well. Not me and Gina will be with the camp. What is it? What's the camp? It's in Prescott this year. The camp Chapel Rock. So we went last year, Gina and I, it was Richie and Chamonix, Pastor Richie and Chamonix, and so they started calling me Pastor Dad. So Tasha, my daughter, had this shirt made, so I'm going to wear it today as we go to camp. So I'm excited about what's going to happen this year in camp, guys. Amen. Amen. Today I want to speak a little bit to you guys. If you'll give me some time, it's not Wednesday night, and it's not quite as active and awesome. But if you can give me some time today, I want to speak to the youth as well, because not only do we want them to be excited about about youth, but we want them to come back and continue. Man, there's one thing to get we can be excited, and it's awesome that happens, but when we get back from youth camp in a week and 2 weeks and school starts, we want to continue in that passion for the things of God. Amen. See, that's the thing with Christ is as we get back in. Let me go back a little bit. So I haven't spoke for 3 weeks, but that's okay. Because if you remember, we had Brandon B. Who enjoyed Brandon B.? His music ministry and what he spoke and talked about the seed landing on and the four different types of soil that the Word of God lands on, and he specifically talked about rocky ground and pulling out rocks of soil, pulling out rocks and that people can have in their soul, in their heart, that God wants to pull out. If you remember that, I thought that was amazing. How about Pastor Steve Reed when he was here? I had him because this guy has such a passion to see the devil get his can kicked. Or he likes to say it. He says, I want to throat punch the devil with all my heart. So he has this. He just loves to see people come into the Lord. And to regardless of where he's at, he does not do the things that he does as far as leading people to Christ, being a minister of the gospel, has nothing to do with the title of him being a pastor, whether he was an associate pastor or not. That's just who he is, a man of action. So I really enjoyed Pastor Steve being here, and then Pastor Freddie was in the house last week, and it's tough to follow Pastor Freddie, can I be honest? And so Pastor Freddie and his wife Tara Lynn, who pastor a church in Mesa, called Word Life. Is it Mesa? Chandler. Okay. I think Mesa's where Vita Church is, right? So I get those switched with Pastor Ben. So Pastor Freddie was talking about how we're meant to encourage one another, and he talked about the gift of prophecy. Encouraging one another, having a word. Did you know you can have a word of exhortation or encouragement or give a word to them from the Lord without in a church setting? Without having to close your eyes and get into the Spirit, because the Spirit lives in you, so you should always have this expectation that you are walking the Spirit, regardless of how you feel. By the way, and so being ready at any time to give a word of exhortation, a word from heaven for somebody. That's really that simple. What God wants you and I to be able to do. Amen. Amen. And so today we're going to get back. I know it's been some time, but I'm going to get back into Judges chapter 6 and Gideon. And so today, if I had to put a title, I have a title for today. Youth, I have a title today, Gideon from Weakness to Strength. Gideon from Weakness to Strength. And that is in the book of Judges chapter 6. So as I begin to speak about this and speaking to the youth, but to everybody, not just the youth, amen? You know, regardless, I like what Paul says, you know, regardless of what's going on the outside of your body, our man is being renewed day by day, amen and amen, right? Truly, age can be just a number, is that true? I mean, I've seen 80-year-olds that are just like, hey, I don't care how old I am, I'm moving forward. And I've heard 55-year-olds act like, it's over, you know, it's over. You know, I'm ready for the rocking chair, but really it's just a mindset, a mentality, amen? So I'm going to go to Judges chapter 6, and if I could just have your attention for the next 40 minutes, it's going to go by like that. like that. Amen. So Judges chapter 6 regarding Gideon, starting with verse 17 in the NASB, it says, so Gideon said to him, so I'm going to just stop real quick. There was this, this angel, the angel of the Lord just appears to him. He's threshing wheat out. And he's trying to hide it because for 8 years, Israel has been under the dominance and power of Midian and some other countries because they had walked away from the Lord. So 8 years later, so every year they would come, the Midianites would come and come into Israel and take everything, take all their crops, take everything that they had worked hard for and just totally rip them off. It took Israel 8 years, and we're going to see because they were serving Baals. They weren't serving the God of Abraham. They weren't serving the God of Isaac and Jacob. For most part, they were serving the gods of the countries around them. And it took 8 years to get their attention. 8 years to get their attention. And so Gideon is hiding, threshing out this wheat so he could have something to eat. And then it says the angel of the Lord under a tree appeared to him and called him a mighty warrior. And he says that I don't. And then he went right into, well, if I'm a mighty warrior, why has this happened to Israel? I think it's interesting that Gideon didn't know, according to the law, because they were under the old covenant, that it seemed like he didn't really realize why they were at where they were at. And so what he says, if you're for us, if I'm a mighty warrior, why is what's happening? And God didn't even give him an explanation. He just went on and said, hey, this is what I've called you to do. Didn't even bother giving him an explanation. And so he sees this angel of the Lord, maybe a representation, to be honest, of Jesus Christ. As we read this, remember the old covenant is always pointing to Jesus Christ. We said we're under the new covenant, amen? So the old covenant was concealed until Jesus rose from the grave and the day of Pentecost, and then the new covenant began to be revealed, amen? Isn't that awesome? So we can see these types and shadows of Jesus Christ, and I believe Gideon is a type of new covenant believer. Or at least I can look at Gideon and see myself in him. He had a lot of weaknesses we'll read about. He had a lot of struggles. It took a long time for God to reassure him that he had a purpose. Because he had lived in 8 years, all he had seen is the enemy defeating the Israelites, amen? And that's what's wonderful, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, amen? What you've experienced, God has made you, designed you, or wants to make you strong in him. We said it many times, he loves to take the weak and make them strong. Gideon is an example, a story that is no different than that. And so again, we started, so he has this angel, he sees this angel, and so Gideon says to this angel of the Lord, so Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then perform for me a sign that it is you speaking with me. So he's like, I can't even believe my eyes. I don't even believe what I'm seeing here. Looks like an angel. This looks like an angelic being. This looks awesome, but man, is it really true? So he says, if it's do a sign for me, show me this is you speaking with me. Verse 18, please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Let's keep reading. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire came up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for ears to hear today. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for your anointing, Father God, upon every ear. Thank you, Lord. You know what every individual needs to hear today. You know every individual's heart, what are their struggles or what they're going through today, Father God. I thank you for meeting every need, Father God, today. Thank you, Lord, for opening every ear spiritually to what you would have to say to them, including myself, Lord. Lord, from the front to the back, we thank you for your exhortation, your encouragement, your correction today by the Spirit of God and by the power of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I'd mentioned that getting is a type of and shadow of the of a new covenant believer. Can you say new covenant? I just want you to say new covenant so I know that you're awake and you can't go to sleep on me because you have to say new covenant. So real quick, can everybody say new covenant? New covenant. So you're a new covenant believer. So as we take a look at this account, this is not a story. I like to say an account because this happened. As sure as I am standing here talking to you, this account from Judges 6 happened. And it was written down as an example to you and I so we can get instruction, revelation, truth, and understanding from these scriptures, how it could apply or it will apply to you today. And so with me, if in your mind, just say, Lord, thank you for showing me something I can apply, Lord, something today that you can show me and teach me. So I have 5 points today, 5 points. And the point number one in these 5 points is you and I are a drink offering. So he says that take that meat out and that bread, separate it, take that broth and pour it out. Where did he pour it out? On the ground. He poured it out on the ground. Now, he had them put the meat and the unleavened bread on a rock, but he took that broth and he had them pour it out on the ground. There was a drink offering under the old covenant, and they would be poured onto the where they would burn it. They would part of the sacrifice. They pour on it, and then it would steam up. It would become like a sweet smelling savor. But in this right here, at this point, he says, pour it out on the ground. So he prepared all this stuff, and he said to pour it out. And let me just say, as far as pouring this out and this offering, let's go to Philippians 2:17, where Paul says something similar, and then let's talk about it. Philippians 2:17 and 18, it says, but Paul says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. And let me just say, if you read before this, if you read the context, if he said, if even I am being poured out as a drink offering, what he was saying is this, even if it appears like what I'm doing in your midst of my ministry, that if it seems like it's not having fruit, if I'm preaching the gospel to you and I don't see it having an effect, he's saying, even if I see myself being poured out as if of no effect, like nothing happened, I will still rejoice in the Lord. You know, this is a, we try to preserve our life sometimes in ourselves. Can I say this? We want to make good use of our time, don't we? One thing that used to frustrate me so much and when I was working is I would have times, or you ever had that where you've had maybe the first part of a day where it's like, I didn't get anything done. I didn't get anything accomplished here. What's going on? I've only got so many hours in a day, and you've got this list of many things to do. And it'll feel like all your efforts were just poured out. You know, we tried to preserve our life. Jesus poured his out. Amen. You know, let me just say this. Pursue him with everything that is within you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently pursue him. There's going to be times and seasons where things will happen in your life and you're going to say, man, what am I accomplishing here? Some of the greatest seasons is this thing that he poured out. He prepared all of this, and this angel says, pour it out. You and I are being poured out like a drink offering. And sometimes it doesn't seem that it's accomplishing anything. It doesn't seem like there's any fruit to it, but I guarantee you the Lord Jesus sees it, and the Lord God is going to get some fruit out of it, and God's going to see that even if things are being poured out or things that are happening in your life that seem to be frustrating or not producing in the fruit, I guarantee that Jesus is doing something in your life. as you continue to worship him and honor him, as you feel like you're being poured out and there's no produce coming, there's not a something coming back in, you're saying, Lord, I love you. And he's the one, I guarantee you, there's always, when you sow, there's always a reaping. And sometimes some of the things that you're going to get back in reaping take the longest. But even if you're poured out, you can sow and sow. There is going to be a season of reaping. But you may not see it, you may not sense it, you may not understand it, but if we keep honoring him and worshiping him, that will produce fruit. Let's pour ourselves out as a drink offering before the Lord. Let him take care of what's going to happen producing the fruit. But the word of God says in Isaiah 55 that my word will not return void, but it will go out and accomplish what I desired for it to accomplish. When you pour yourself out, you let him be responsible for the results. We are to worship him and honor him regardless of what we see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pour our lives out. And he says, pour that out. Pour that part out. Yeah, you worked on it. Separate it. Pour it out. We can be pouring our lives out sometimes, and it can seem like what good is it doing? Or we can actually see things maybe, as Paul was saying, I'm poured my life, I'm poured out as an offering here. And even if I don't see the fruit, he says, even if you guys decide not to walk with Christ, if you decide to do your own thing, I am still going to rejoice and worship him. Hallelujah. When we belong to the Lord, regardless of what's going on, if we'll pour ourselves out for him, he needs people that sometimes if you got kids, you know how frustrating kids can be sometimes? Or grandkids, if we'll pour ourselves out on their behalves. Sometimes it's like, man, if what I'm doing even making, is it having any impact? Lord, am I honoring and being an example to family members or kids that may not even be walking with the Lord. Lord, I feel like I'm pouring myself out and there's no response. Let me tell you, when we continue to honor him and worship him, he'll bring a result. He'll bring a result. Some of the greatest reaping of things that God will do in your lives that we sow take the longest. Amen. Take the longest to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Whether it be in giving of your finances, giving of your time, pouring yourself out. I love them when we did that Chino Family Day, which, you know, it wasn't all perfect, I know. And I heard a lot of people, and rightfully so, say, me too, man, I'm tired. You know what you're doing? You know what you were doing? You were pouring yourself out. You were pouring yourself out. Lord, I'm tired, but he renews our strength, those that wait upon the Lord. Amen? So the first thing is, we go to this camp, young people, is you say, Lord, I'm going to pour myself out. I'm giving you my entire life. My entire life. That first part is pouring. He had him pour out that offering. Be willing to pour yourself out. And the second one, we know these basic things, but it's in the scripture, so it's a type and shadow that I saw from the Lord. So number one, you and I are the drink offering, amen. Number two, you and I are a living sacrifice. I know these things, but seeing this here in this scriptures, how it's portrayed to us right now. And so he says, remember, let's go to Romans 12:1 though, real quick. Romans 12:1-2 before I go back to explaining that. Therefore, I urge you. This is Paul again. Therefore, I urge you. It's not written to us, but for us. So he's saying, I urge you this morning. We could say that I urge you. You pour your life out. Brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. How? By the mercies of God. Man, when we're talking about living sacrifice, there's not this harsh person that's saying, you better do this. No, it's his mercies and his love and his kindness. Man, he's not looking at you saying, you better be a living sacrifice. He's not doing that with a scowl. He's doing it with love, with kindness. Amen. Being a living, I loved how John, let me just stop, and when John Corbett at the men's breakfast yesterday, he was giving his testimony, which was pretty awesome. Learned some amazing things, John. So glad that I got to hear that. But one thing we got to realize sometimes we say, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. As John said, he wanted to give his life to the Lord, but then he backed up because he said, God's going to send me to Africa. And so he stepped away from the Lord. We have these mindsets of what being a living sacrifice. Hey, how about we start out by just caring for the people in Chino Valley or Prescott Valley or Prescott or Dewey Humboldt or Paulden, whatever. How about our mission field? How about we just relax? We give to some missionaries, and I'm so grateful to that. But why we can relax within ourselves and say, Lord, how about where I just live? Man, the mission field, if you got kids right now, is raising your kids. Amen. Loving your family. If you got a wife, there's your first place. If you got a husband, there's your first place. I like to say there's your mission field. Amen. For sure. That's your first ministry. So we have these ideals when we say, hey, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. We have these ideals that God's going to make me do something or he's going to call me to something I don't want to do. But let me tell you, in Psalm 37, it says that he gives us the desires of our heart. So if he's called you to these things, he knew you before he ever made you or created you, and they were all written down in a book before the foundation of the earth. He knows those things that he's placed within you. So they're going to also come with desire because they're going to go along with the giftings and abilities and talents and the way that God made you to think and process. So when his desires for you are going to hook up with the desires that he's placed in you. And if you want to be a missionary, he's called you somewhere to be a missionary, then that is God who placed that in you. Amen? Amen and amen. Like my good friend Dana that went to Bangladesh. It's like I wouldn't want to be a missionary in Bangladesh for anything. But he couldn't wait to get to Bangladesh. Why? Because when God called him, he put that desire within him. A living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. See, you're acceptable to God before you lay your... there's no sacrifice that you can do to be acceptable to God, okay? So let's not get this backwards, like, okay, I'm going to lay my life down, then I'll be acceptable. No. You're only saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Amen. You give you're washed by the blood of the Lamb, only thing that can wash your sins away. And then when you realize he's washed and cleansed you, what's the result of that? I give him my life as a living sacrifice, saying, Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I know you've made me with certain abilities and talents and things. I know that you're going to lead and guide my life in truth. Lord, I give you my life to lead and guide because I am already righteous. Amen? Because it says here, verse 1 again, as a living and a holy sacrifice. Can you say I'm holy? I could say, let me just say this. I can say I'm holy, not out of pride. Religion loves to say that they're holy out of their own efforts. But that all stinketh. That's the King James. It stinketh. But when I realize that his death, burial, and resurrection and coming and lived into me is what made me holy, I can't help but respond with open arms saying, Lord, I belong to you. That's by the time you, what I realize, people have a revelation of grace. You've come to the point where you've tried to have your own holiness. You've tried to have your own righteousness, and it just didn't work. It never got real, you felt like you never qualified. You never felt comfortable in your own skin. You never feel like that you always feel like you have to be doing something to earn something for him. That's when you know that you're doing it on your own effort in religion or your own pride. It's when you haven't done anything yet, but put your trust and faith in him and you realize, man, this is by faith. I am righteous. When you really understand that and realize that, when you've really come to the end of your own efforts, when you've really come to the end of beating your head against a block wall, so to speak, amen? Or as it says, in, I think, in 1 Peter 4, that he that has suffered in the flesh is through with sin. When you realize that there's no satisfaction, there's no hope, there's no real satisfaction and purpose in your life, that's really when you can come to the end of yourself and by faith give your life to him and experience his righteousness. And when you truly experience his righteousness, that's when he can work through you and me that are made out of clay. Made out of clay, amen? And somebody would say this, that he's transformed us. And so we take this, he says, separate, pour out the broth. And the first thing he says, take the meat. We're going to read about it. We read about it. Put it on the rock. Take that meat and put it on the rock. Are you still sticking with me? Are you still there? Don't tune me out yet. You know, we're just flesh or meat, carny. You've heard of carnal life. Living after the flesh is a carnal life. It's that same word for carne asada. So you can't live in righteousness on your own effort, your own flesh, right? So we take this flesh that's been made righteous and holy. And then we are on that, we put ourselves on that rock. That rock being, we'll see, that rock is Jesus Christ. Paul even said in the Corinthians that rock that they drank from in the wilderness was none other than Jesus Christ himself. Wow. What was he saying there? Pour out that broth. You and I are being poured out as a drink offering. Amen. We leave it in his hands. That when we worship and serve him and give our life to him, things that come against us, let me just say this again, trust him. Do not have it. If the enemy can give you a mentality saying, look at all these things I've done and what are the results? This is what you do, Lord. Even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering, I worship you. I honor you, I praise you, I exalt you, I lift up my hands, Father, I thank you, Lord, I choose to walk in your joy. So we have this thing, your flesh, he says, take the meat and put it on the rock. Okay, we're going to keep going. So number two, so you and I are a living sacrifice, amen? You and I are a living sacrifice. So when you give your life to Christ, were you holy before or after? Before. Because if you could just be a living sacrifice and put yourself on that, and then you have to become holy before you are you give your life or become a living sacrifice, and why not just live underneath the law? But the truth of the matter is before you ever say, I'm a living sacrifice, by faith you've given your life to Christ. And when you're righteous and holy, man, that's when you realize, man, Lord, my whole life belongs to you. I am a living sacrifice. Amen. Number three. So number one, just see, number one, you and I are the drink offering. Number two was you and I are the living sacrifice. Number three is unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Amen. So he said, put this meat on the rock. And he said, put this unleavened bread on the rock. So where we can find something about unleavened bread, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, can we? And this is Jesus. He's talking to the Corinthians. Let me just say before this, he's saying, your boasting's not good, because they had a problem there where a guy was sleeping with his stepmom. He says, well, what are you guys doing? You're allowing this to go on. He says, it's like you're giddy about it. It's like you're okay about it. Just telling, this is what, if you read that chapter, that's what he's talking about. So he's talking about this thing of leaven. He's talking about it as being sin. The leaven is sin. See, look, when we just go back a little bit and just say, when we go back to with Moses, when he says, hey, you're coming out of Egypt. And he had these different things, the meat, and he says, and eaten unleavened bread. So you're going to see what Paul talks about, unleavened bread, meaning in this case, or type and shadow of being free from sin. You'll see that you and I, having our sins washed away walking with him, we're unleavened bread. Did you know you're unleavened bread? And so we see where he says, hey, he says, getting this angel of the Lord, I want you to put the meat and I want you to put the bread on that rock. And so let me just read here what Paul said. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? This we're talking about, hey, you got this stuff going on and it's affecting the rest of the body. The rest of the body starting to think, hey, maybe sexual sin, maybe sexual relations outside of marriage might be okay. So what he was saying is that this leaven was begin to affect the whole body. So he says, oh, verse 7, he says, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump. He's saying get rid of that cancer, basically, that's going on right there. Clean out the old leaven so that it may be a new lump, just as you are in fact, this is what I love, just as in fact you are unleavened. What he was saying is you're righteous and holy. How can you allow this to go on around you? How can you allow this to go on in your life? Don't you know that you're righteous and holy? How can this be? That's what he's saying. Then it goes on. This is beautiful. For Christ our Passover. Who's our Passover? Did you know it doesn't matter if God, you know, obviously God of the old covenant. But did you know that celebrating the Passover for those in the Jewish faith has zero benefit? Did you know that? It's a type and shadow of Christ. And even you and I, if at night seen Christians who might celebrate it, well, what it is it's just a reminder of who Christ is and what he is. He is our Passover. It says right here, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. He said, therefore, let's celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what he does, he takes this, he says, okay, you poured this out. You've taken the meat, you put it, he says, put it on a rock. He says, take that unleavened bread, you're holy and righteous, put it on a rock. Number four, then Jesus is the rock that produced the fire. See, he touched it, remember we just read, he touched it with his staff and it caught on fire. It caught on fire, and then it says that it consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Let me just say this. Where's the fire seen? Let me just say it real quick. He said, put the meat, you're the living sacrifice. You're unleavened and holy. Put that on the rock, then Jesus touched it, and it caught fire. See, the fire of God in our lives, understand this. You're being poured out as a drink offering. Worship and honor him. Number two, you're that carny. We're meat, right? We're flesh. What's that movie says? I smell man flesh. Sorry, but I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, you put yourself on, you and I, on that rock, man flesh, unleavened bread. You're righteous and holy. Anybody in here righteous and holy? Man, if you're like, no, or I'm struggling, you need a revelation of his grace and his mercy and his love. You do, because you can't do it on your own. I'm not saying that you just do whatever you want. You'll find, if you belong to Christ, the Lord, it's the word of God says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. It also says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If you're truly his, he'll get your attention. He'll get your attention. He has a way to get you. Has anybody ever experienced that? I sure have many, many times. Thank God, because I'm his child. So when you have that meat and that unleavened bread, you're righteous and holy. Then it says that angel took his staff and he touched that rock and it caught on fire and it consumed the meat and that unleavened bread. See, it says that the desire of the Lord is that he would consume our lives. Amen. That we'd realize that, number one, that he paid the cost. And because he paid the cost, we just say, Lord, I give you my life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Amen. But Christ that lives in me. And so when we realize, number one, being poured out, a lot of people get stuck at the poured out because they get upset. They say, hey, man, look, I poured my life out, and look what's happened. There hasn't been, look at the things that have happened to me that have been bad, things that aren't good. Where are you, Lord? You see, when we go back to that, we can pour out our lives and things happen and we can get upset with the Lord and we never even get past that first step. And so we may be born again, we love the Lord, but our hearts are never on fire because we're resentful of things that happen when we poured out our lives or things that happen to us that we get upset and say, Lord, where are you? And what Paul said here, he said, going back, he said, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering and I don't see the fruit yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. So if you're being poured out as a drink offering, you're saying, where are you, Lord? Continue to worship him and honor him and do not get stuck at being poured out as a drink offering. How can we be on? We want to be on fire for God, but we don't want to be poured out. We don't want to be a living sacrifice. We want everything on our terms, don't we? Well, hear what he said. This is what we see from here. Being poured out his life, pouring out that drink offering. That meat on that rock, that unleavened bread, you and I being righteous and holy, laying our lives down, then Jesus takes the Holy Spirit and sets us afire. He sets us afire. Amen. John, Luke 3:16 says, John responded to them all saying, as for me, I baptize you with water. But he is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit and fire. Man, if the Holy Spirit is going to catch us on fire, man, we got to say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. Man, I pour myself out before you. Lord, I don't hold any resentments of you, Lord, of the past. Lord, I forgive and I forget. And Lord, I commit my way to no matter what happens, what comes my way, what I experience, I will continue to pour my life out before you. I will continue to be my life on that altar. I will continue to honor and worship you and pursue you, Father. I will continue to be that unleavened bread. And then God has something to set a fire. He has something to set a fire because you belong to him. It's hard to set something on fire when there's nothing there, amen? You take a rock and it's just a rock there. There's nothing to burn up. What is God going to set on fire? But when you and I, man, put our lives down, a living sacrifice, what did he do? He touched him and set that situation on fire. Father, thank you for setting our lives on fire. Father, anything that's standing in the way, show us by your mercy and your grace so I could be set afire by your anointing and your Holy Spirit and your truth and your purpose and your desire. Father God, regardless of what goes on, Lord, in my life, Lord, I pray I don't jump off that altar. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? You ever get upset and jump off that altar and say, today we're going to do things my way. We don't even realize it. But I'm not going to digress right there. And like I said, I just said, people don't experience this fire and passion for the things of God because they aren't willing to be poured out for God and they aren't willing to be a living sacrifice. That's grace and truth. That's grace and truth. Hey, you belong. He bought you for a price. You're precious in his sight. You don't belong. It's not the three of us now, me, myself, and I. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? You were purchased with a great price. God gave his very best from heaven. Why did he purchase you and I? Because we're so precious. Even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were stinkers, liars, thieves, whatever you were, con man, self-righteous, even he died for us, even knowing that what we would be. Amen. And what I love, that's so number four, is Jesus is the rock that produced that fire. So amen. Once Once we realize that we've really laid down our life to him because we've been purchased with a price, this is what I realize. I love this. I love this next one, this part. I'm going to read some more of Judges again, okay? Stick with me another few minutes. Because point five is very important. Point five is very important. Point five is you build a life on top of the old life, on top of the ashes. So Judges 6:25, so that angel of the Lord, Jesus, sets this rock on fire, and then it says this, and now he says this, the angel says this to Gideon, he says, now on the same night the Lord said to him, to Gideon, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold, and in an orderly way, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. And so why did Israel find themselves this way for 8 years? They were worshiping everything but God. They weren't worshiping Yahweh. They were worshiping Baals and the Asherah. Asherah, a goddess of fertility, sexual sin, perversion. That's that Asherah pole. And so they're worshiping Baal. And what he was saying, he said, man, you've allowed me, you've given your life to me as a living sacrifice. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to show you the lies, the things that have become strongholds in your life, and you're going to build the truth on top of them. You're going to be on top of them because the enemy is beneath our feet. So he said, right now, you take those things of Baal that you learned from, it may have come from your background, from your folks and from your grandparents. I've made you a new creation. I've given you a brand new mind. I've given you a brand new spirit, and in your life, you're going to tear these things down that you used to believe, that you used to look to, and you're going to build an altar to me, and you're going to be the one on that altar because you're going to give your life to me, and these things, that these strongholds are going to be teared down, which are lies of the enemy. And so many people right now live in deception because they haven't even truly given their life to the Lord. So the things that the Lord wants to reveal to them never come to them because they haven't even really given their life to him. They haven't poured their lives out as a drink offering. They don't realize that they're a living sacrifice. They don't realize that Jesus is their righteousness. And once we realize those things and he sets us on fire, then he said, now I'm going to show you the lies. You're going to tear them down, and you're going to build a kingdom of God on top of those things that used to defeat your life are now going to be ash beneath your feet in Jesus' name. Amen. Tear it down, he said. He said this was his family. This was what his family was doing. He said, tear down this Baal. Tear this down. Tear down this altar to Baal. The lies. They were believing lies. Can you believe the children of Israel believe in lies? And he says, guess what? You've poured out your life before me. You've given your life to me. This example, you've given your life to me. Amen. I've set your heart on fire. I can begin to show you those things that are untruths. They're going to be broken down. And what you're going to build on top of them are the truths of the kingdom of God. The truth of God is going to be built on top of these lies. Those things that used to keep you down, now he says, hey, you're going to tear them down. He didn't tear them down. God said to Gideon, you tear them down. I'm showing that you tear them down. And you build an altar of truth from the word of God on top of these things. Let me say, youth, when you go there and you give your life to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to you. And the power of God touches you, fills you. Amen. You said he catches you on fire. When you get back, what's going to sustain you is you're going to say, I'm no longer, when I'm not feeling on fire anymore, I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm going to begin to tear down these things that the enemy has lied to me about. So when I come back to school and I'm not feeling like I was camp. I have the truth of the Word of God to stand upon, because those things that used to be lies, that used to keep coming against me, are going to be torn down. And on top of those things, you're going to build an altar to the Lord, an altar of truth based upon the Word of God, based upon the power of God, so you can stand upon those things. So when the enemy comes against you, say, nope, nobody here. No more lies are here. These have been broken down, and you can sustain what God does for you in camp if you allow Him when you get back to continue to grow in Him, continue to allow Him to reveal lies and tear them down and replace them with the truth of the Word of God. Amen. As Gina, the piano player, comes. Don't you love the piano player? This is what I realized, as you can, if you'll stand up with me. Maybe that's you today. You say, man, there's been things where I feel like I've poured out my life and nothing came of it. And you maybe became angry or upset. And so it's kind of an attitude, if we can get upset with God, can't we? We can get upset with the Lord. He said, look, I poured myself, I gave him my heart, I gave him my soul, and look what happened. This is what the Lord says to there. It says, forgive and begin to rejoice and worship the Lord. He's the one that takes care of you. He's the one that takes care of you. He's the one that provides for you. It's His Holy Spirit. It's not my Holy Spirit. It's His Holy Spirit that He gives to encourage us, to strengthen us, to deliver Him. And it's the other thing. It's just every day. It's not hard to say, Lord, I just give myself to You. I belong to You. Every square inch of me. Is it a perfect process? No. You're human beings. We're human beings. We still have this flesh, don't we? But we just say, Lord, I know You love me. You'll never leave me, forsake me. Lord, Your compassion is with me. I give You my life today. I don't hold any resentments. I don't hold any forgivenesses. And I say, Lord, I belong to You. Then you realize this. You don't let the enemy lie to you. And you say, Lord, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I am only righteous through Your sacrifice. And Lord, right now, I always say this. I know He only shed His blood once. But this is a reminder of me, Lord. I said, I apply the blood of Jesus to my life. Thank You for again being, just continuing to be with me. Thank You again, Lord, for not leaving me or forsaking me. Thank You that You've washed every sin away from now until the day You come back. Amen. And then when we realize that, and we start getting some growth, then the Lord can begin to reveal things to us that keep us blind, that keep us blind to truths. And then He said, the Lord begins to show us, and we say, okay, I'm tearing that down. It's called a stronghold. It's called the lie of the enemy. Wednesday night, let me just say this real quick. Wednesday night, because we were going to do session 94, I think. And the Lord had me just go a different direction. And I was talking about that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. The Lord began to speak to me, if I'm not experiencing His righteousness, His peace, or His joy in my home, then there's somewhere the enemy's got a foothold. There's a place where the enemy has got a lie lodged somewhere in my mind, in others in the home. And that's when I say, Lord, if I'm not experiencing that righteousness, peace, and joy, show me. Because I want to tear it down, and I want to build an altar of truth on top of it. That's what He wants. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. You know what? That sounds pretty good to me. That sounds pretty good to me. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, as we give our lives to you, thank you, Father, we're living sacrifices. Lord, we worship you and we honor you and we praise you. Lord, we belong to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please, when this service ends or even right now, come up here. We want to introduce you to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We want to introduce you to the one who made you, the one who died for you, the one who wants to save you, the one who wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, the one who wants to put you on a new track, amen? It's called a highway of holiness, and he's the one that paved the way through his blood, amen? Well, what I like to do is that you can go from here and say, Lord, let that resonate. Let this message resonate in me and speak to me. Did you know he wants to speak to us all the time? Are we hearing? Amen, from his word, by his spirit that lines up with his word. Father, begin to, as we give our lives to you, living sacrifices, as we're caught on fire by the power of God. Lord, once again, I just say, start pulling those strongholds down in Jesus' name. Lord, begin to show us those things in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to show us those things in Jesus' name. Lord, bring total peace in our homes in Jesus' name. Lord, but as far as it concerns us on our jobs, let us walk in peace in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you're the Prince of Peace. Amen. You're the Prince of Peace. We receive of that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, do you love him this morning?